Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And it's always exciting. I've had the privilege to speak for several graduates over the years, and I'm just thankful to be able to have this time. But tonight, the message isn't just for graduates, it's really for everyone. When we come to an accomplishment in our life, graduating from high school is a big accomplishment. Praise God for that. It is a big accomplishment, and I'm thankful for Adam's diligence and his parents' patience, and Brother and Mrs. Hammond's patience through the years. I was thinking about having testimony time at the end, but we'll see about that. Adam's like, please don't do that. No, but we're just thankful for his accomplishments. And tonight we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, a passage that is very familiar to us. But I want us to take away a few thoughts tonight and really to look at our lives, and we see maybe the accomplishments that we have done. We have maybe it's graduating from high school, maybe it's getting married, or maybe it is a promotion or something like that, and that it's a milestone in our life. And graduating from high school is a milestone for sure. But as we see in the life of the Apostle Paul had many accomplishments in his life. We know that Paul was a Pharisee, that he had many, had studied hard at the feet of Gamaliel. He had made many accomplishments in his life before he met Christ and he got saved. But then after that, we see many other accomplishments, planting many churches. Perhaps I would say, I think we're pretty safe in saying that the greatest missionary the world has ever known, and that completely sold out to Christ, as we looked at this morning. But we see that he did never look back at those past accomplishments. He looked back at them, but he accomplished all those things, but he never looked back. He was always going forward. And tonight, in a message entitled, Not Done Yet. Not Done Yet. So Adam, good, he's getting in here. You can sit right up here in the front, Adam. It's okay. No, he's coming on in. But Adam has accomplished something, but he's not done yet. All of us have accomplished something in life, but we're not done yet. And if we could stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, we're in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through verse 15. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Brethren, I count not myself that I've apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight so thankful and privileged to be celebrating with Adam a great accomplishment that he's worked many years to accomplish. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the faithfulness of his parents, of his grandparents, and of his family to encourage him in this and to accomplish this accomplishment. But Lord, I pray that tonight that you would guide Adam in his life as he goes forward, and that you'd guide all of us, that we would be reminded, dear Lord, that every accomplishment we go along the way, that we cannot stop and look behind and say, I've done enough, but Lord, we're not done yet. And I pray that you would guide us, that you would give us the grace that we need and mercy, and Lord, that we would strive to continue on for you. I pray that you bless this message. Give me the words to say, I've been behind the cross, dear Lord, for this is not my message, but yours. I pray that you will bless it in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Not done yet. So maybe, Adam, you finished your exams, and you're like, I'm done. You know, I remember looking back at high school, when I graduated high school, I said, man, I have come a long way. I mean, I'm old. I'm 18 years old. I've come a long way. I've made an accomplishment. But, you know, looking back at that, life hadn't even started yet. And that there's a lot of other things that are going to be coming up for those that are graduating this year. And to be honest, those of us, even though maybe we've lived a long life, there are still many other things ahead for us. Maybe not the same as things that have already happened in our life, but we have all something to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have something to accomplish for him. But right here, I want us to look at three thoughts tonight that we get from Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Let's pause there for a minute. Paul said, I have not completed what I need to complete yet. I have not apprehended. I haven't gained everything I need to gain. I haven't accomplished God's will for my life yet. I have made accomplishments, but I haven't apprehended. I'm not there yet. And that's a great attitude to have in the Christian life, that we can have accomplishments, praise God. We give God the glory, give God the honor and praise, amen. But we're not done yet until we get to heaven. Even then, to be honest, we're never going to be done, because we're always going to be serving, worshiping, and praising God in this life and the next. We're never going to be done. Isn't that an exciting thought? For all of eternity, we get to be in complete communion and worship God. But what we look at is, I've not apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So I've not accomplished what I need to accomplish yet, and the things I have accomplished, I don't focus on those. Nothing wrong with seeing the grace of God and being encouraged in what God has accomplished, but sometimes we spend too much time looking backwards. Wow, look at all that I've done, and we see all that God has done. Remember, you didn't do it, God did. All the things that God did in your life, and we can say, you know what, I've done enough. I've come this far, and you know, I think it's time for me to relax. The devil loves to tempt people with that, just to relax, to coast. I've done enough for the Lord. Well, Paul didn't see it that way. I said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, there are some things that we can look at tonight. So first is, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back at past successes. We can see a good example of this. We see Joshua and the children of Israel in the book of Joshua. We see the great accomplishment of accomplishing that they did not do, that God accomplished for them, because it wasn't Israel's trouble sometimes, that God did a great work and they forgot who did it. But then we see that Joshua and the children of Israel, Jericho had fallen by the miracle of God, and they knew that. They had success. And then we see that Achan took of the accursed thing, and sin was in the camp, but they went right on to Ai. Joshua didn't seek the Lord, and I think if he had, God would have told him there was a problem. But he went, and they didn't send as many soldiers. They thought, well, we can handle this, and they sent those men out, and men died. They look back at past success, and they didn't trust the Lord. We can do that. We can look back at past success and say, hey, you know, I've done a good job and God is blessed and I'm good. I don't need to go forward anymore. Adam, you have had success. You passed. Amen? He passed. He made it. And you're not done yet. So don't look back on this, Adam, and say, well, I'm done. I'm good. I can coast through life now. Life has just begun. Right? Amen. Caleb and Becca, you're getting married. Life is just about to get interesting. Amen. She's like, I know. No. But yeah, this is going to be fun. It's going to be another chapter of life. You know, getting married is an accomplishment. I know it's an accomplishment for me. Knowing myself, you know, I'm still amazed that my wife loves me, but, you know, with all of my problems and my failings. But we see, you know, that's why the Bible said, he who findeth the wife findeth a good thing. You know, right? Amen. Because, you know what? Ladies, we know that we're dumb. We know it, okay? But we look at past successes. We can't look at the past successes. We cannot live today on the blessings of yesterday. But we have new mercy and grace from God every single day, and we should be looking forward to, God, what do you want me to accomplish for you today? Sometimes we look at the big things. Well, I'm only going to see these things, these accomplishments, as big, huge things in my life. You know what? Living for God and obeying him every day is an accomplishment. Amen? Faithfulness is an accomplishment, but not of our own, but of the grace of God in our life. So we can't look at past successes. Also, this is more often than not, we look at past failures, things that we did not accomplish, things that we failed in, and the devil loves to disable us and loves to discourage us. And, you know, you're supposed to be looking ahead, looking towards what God has for you, focusing on the next step, but then the devil comes, well, remember that time you did that. Hey, remember that time you said this and you thought this? Hey, you know what? That was bad. You know what? There's nothing for you to go back to, nothing for you to look at if it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. If it's under the blood and it's forgiven, remember, it's not God bringing you back to that place. That's the devil bringing you back to that place. and that when it's forgiven, removed as far as the east is from the west, the forgiveness of God is a miracle. And guess what? You don't need to worry about your past failures. God knows about them. Amen? He knows about your failures. You know, sometimes God asks us to do something. Oh, I don't think you realize who I am. I don't think you realize what's gone on in my life. He does. Remember, he made you, knows everything about you, and he's forgiven you and cleansed you and set you on the path towards him. So let's not look back at past failures. We can't be too proud of past successes, but we also can't be discouraged at past failures. Look at Moses. Moses was called in the wilderness, and he made a mistake. He murdered an Egyptian man. You know what? And he was all... If you look at the conversation between Moses and God, Moses was very concerned about his inadequacy of his past failures, the things that, you know, just hadn't worked out for him. But God said, it's not going to be you. It's going to be me. All I'm going to do is use you to be my mouthpiece. That's it. You know, some people believe he had a speech impediment. I don't know if he did or not. But I'll just tell you what, after the first couple chapters of Exodus, he didn't have any trouble talking. Amen. Aaron spoke a couple times, then it was him the rest of the time. God used him. Let's not look back at past failures. But something we do need to look back at, look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And some people look back and they look at the cost. Don't look back at the cost. Look at all that I gave up. Look at all that I missed out. Look. Guess what? That's never going to get you anywhere. You know what? Maybe the devil comes to you and says, well, look at what all you've given up. Look at what all you've lost. Look at all the hurt. Look at all this. And he knows you can say, and it was worth it too. It's worth it to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14, verse number 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. All that, behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And we looked at that this morning. Guess what? Serving God costs something. Are we willing to give that cost? But Luke chapter 9, let's turn back a couple of pages in verse number 62. Luke chapter 9, verse number 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Looking back and regretting serving him. That was Israel's problem when they're in the wilderness. They kept looking back at where God had brought them out of, the bondage and the shame, and they kept looking back and saying it was better here. Whenever they got in a tight spot, they said, it was better over there. It was better back in Egypt. It was better in bondage. It was better in sin. It never is. That's just a deception of the devil. So you're not done yet, Adam. But the first rule, don't look back. You can remember this day, and it's great to remember. We're celebrating this day, but don't focus on this day. Don't focus on this accomplishment too much. Just keep going forward. Amen? And praise God and give God the glory for it. And that brings us back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Looking forward, not looking back. You know, sometimes, you know, we look at things... we can see things better in hindsight, you know. Foresight is, you know, 50-20 or whatever, or five, and hindsight is 20-20, right? But what we do when we say that, we're looking back, we can see God working, but if we focus on that which is behind, we're not going to be able to focus on the next step. That's number two tonight. First, don't look back. Second, focus on the next step. What is the next thing in God's plan for your life? Now, this is interesting as you look at the life of the Apostle Paul. If you look at the life of Paul, you see that there was a plan to his ministry. You know, sometimes I hope we don't think that he just didn't wander around from place to place starting churches. Just wandered around, went from place to place, oh, let's just start a church here. If you look at the map of all the churches he started, there was a system to it. He always went to cultural areas. Now, there are other churches that we know record at least 14 in the New Testament, probably many more, but he always went to cultural and religious centers, the worst of the worst places, went to Ephesus, went to Corinth, went to places that people would hear the gospel and spread. It was strategic. I think God, and I knew God intended it that way. You know why? Because God was leading him every step of the way. God always has a plan. God always has a plan. We don't see every part of it. We don't see how we fit into it all the time, but we just know God says, do this, and we should say, yes, Lord. Focus on the next step. Guess what? Sometimes we look way out in the distance, and we're looking down 20, 30, 50 years. We're looking down there, and I can't see it. And God says, look right in front of you. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, sometimes we can look way out there, and we're trying. You ever done that when you're trying to find, like, how many ever do bird watching? How many ever do that? Okay, I am alone in that. Hey, brother, awesome. You love watching birds. Hey, good. My son does, too. That's good. I don't feel so alone here tonight. But, you know, how many of you have used binoculars? Okay, how many of you ever use binoculars? Let's just ask. Okay, there we go. So we have the binoculars. Okay. So I said, this illustration was about to die. But anyway, so we have binoculars, and we're looking far away, right? We're looking at a bird, or we're looking at a deer, right? That's better. Looking at a deer or something. Getting it in the scope. You know, right? We have a bunch of hunting men in here tonight, okay? So you're out there, and you got the deer out there, and you're looking, and you're looking. And, man, you're trying to get it lined up. You know what you're missing? The deer that was right out of the sight, line of sight, that's a lot closer that you can hit it. We've all done that. You know, we're trying to find something, and then you take binoculars. Oh, it's right there. You know, sometimes with the will of God. See, where's Scott? I'm not stealing your sermon, are you? I'm not stealing your sermon for Sunday, right? Good. Okay, good. I might steal a little bit up and just letting you know. So listen to sermon on Sunday. Anyway, we miss it. We're looking so far ahead that God has a very simple step for us to take. The will of God is step by step by step by step. And if we don't take the steps, we won't find ourselves in the will of God. We'll find ourselves out on a tangent over here. There was a pattern to Paul's ministry, knowing that the gospel would spread, but he was laser-focused on the plan that God had given him. You know, you look at the New Testament, and you especially maybe look at the book of Acts, and you see what God was doing, but you sometimes need to imagine, need to think a little bit, because there was a lot more to it than was just recorded. How did he get to that place? How did he know where to go? Don't you think Paul prayed? Don't you think Paul sought his face? We know that God sent a man from Macedonia to him in a vision, said, come over and help us. Hey, don't you think that's the direction of the Lord? Absolutely. And he went over. But then he would try to go other places, and he said, the Spirit, it hindered us. We shouldn't have gone there. But you know what? He was always going somewhere forward. He wasn't just sitting there waiting. Oh, you know, we're waiting for this to happen. He tried to go in a direction. God said, no. You know, sometimes we sit and wait. I'm sitting and I'm waiting for God's will. I'll never forget this. Never forget this. Where I went to college, there was a guy, I forget his name. My wife probably remembers his name. I don't remember his name. It was an unremarkable guy, so I don't remember that. But anyway, he was my age. He was 32, 33 years old. And he was a college student. Okay? What's so remarkable about that? Well, he had started college when he was 18 like everybody else. He was working on his fifth undergraduate degree in Bible. He had three master's degrees. He is what you would call a professional student, okay? He had been at that school for almost 15 years, getting degree after degree after degree and after degree. And you know what he said? He'd ask him, so what do you do? You know, us that are just getting our 4 years degrees, like, you guys, you're nuts, man. What are you doing here? I'm just waiting for God to speak to me. I'm just waiting for the next step. And no one would marry him either. I wonder why. But anyway, he said, I'm just waiting for the next step. I'm waiting for God to reveal himself to me. I'm just waiting for the next step. And you know what? A lot of people tried to tell him that, well, maybe the next step is to actually take a step forward instead of just sitting and spinning his wheels. Now, it would be completely different if he had a purpose in it. Maybe he was going to translate the Bible or something like that. He needed that education, but that wasn't the case. I have no problem with people going to school for 10 or 15 years to prepare for a vocation that God has called them to. Nothing wrong with that. But he was just sitting there. He had degrees in so many different things. Not only Bible, I think he had a history degree and different things like that. And when we graduated, he was still there. He might still be there for all I know. I don't know. That was 10 years ago. But it was sad. It impressed on the body. It was a sad thing to see that someone couldn't go out and do the will of God. waiting for a writing in the sky instead of taking the simple steps forward. And tonight, every person that's in here tonight has a plan that God has made for them. Every person has a plan that God has made for them. Just like God had a plan for the Apostle Paul, he has a plan for you. But we need to find out what it is. What is the next step for us? Life is a series of steps and decisions that we either make, that we make for ourselves and on our own wisdom, or we follow the plan of God. So we see, first, don't look back. So we need to be focusing on what's before. And by the way, we say, well, focus on God, focus on Jesus, focus on Christ. And that's exactly right. But that is not just an ethereal general term. What that means is focus on what God wants you to do. And we have general things that are revealed to us that we know we're supposed to be doing. You know, we're all supposed to be in church. Amen. We're all supposed to be in church. We're all supposed to be reading our Bible. We're all supposed to be praying and communing with Him, having a relationship with God. We're all to be soul winners. We know that. But that, there's more. There's a specific plan for you. You need to take steps forward and find out. And God wants to let you know what it is. It's not some mystical thing that someday, you know, we hear some of these people, these leaders of these different groups, and, you know, one day, you know, a rock hit them in the head, and they woke up, and they knew what the will of God was, right? Now, I think you just got a bump in the head, but as we expect something like that to happen, that we're going to have a vision in the night, you know, that we're going to have something spooky happen to us to find out the will of God. It's simple. Ask God, and if you have a relationship with Him, really what it is I'm struggling to find the will of God as a young person or as an adult. Let me ask you the first thing. How is your relationship with Him daily in your devotional walk with Him? How is your prayer life? How was that? You know, when I struggled as a young person finding the will of God, you know, as a teenager, I didn't know what God wanted me to do, and I was struggling, and I guessed being a missionary pilot, and that was just a good idea, and I thought it was a great idea and everything. I wasn't even saved yet. I just went and hey, it sounded like a good idea. But, you know, God had a purpose in it. You know, God even has a purpose in our, even though we don't know what we're doing. Amen. You know that we don't know what we're doing. God still has a purpose in it and guides and directs. You know, and the last thing I wanted to be was a pastor. What am I now? You know, what did I ask people this question. What would God, what would be the tip-top thing that you would love to do with your life? Oh, I would love to do this. I said, probably God's will isn't going to be that. It might be. It usually isn't. What's the thing that you're most afraid of doing? Well, it's this. That's probably what God wants you to do. You know what? I might be wrong. I'm not clairvoyant. I don't know. But many times that's the case. Are we going to focus on the next step? And then last, when we find that step, all right? Right, Adam? When you find that step, step number three, run with all your might. Run with all your might. Right here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, okay, forgetting what's, don't look back, reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Run with all that you have. Dedicate yourself to the service of God, whether it be in the ministry or any vocation. If that's what God wants to do, you run with all of your might. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing, I'll let you turn there. This is important. So Paul many times used running illustrations, exercising, running with all of his might. Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm sorry, running the race of the Christian life, we don't do it walking. Well, hey, I'm just one of those slow joggers, you know, those people that are just, they're barely going walking speed, but hey, I'm running. I mean, you can walk faster than they're going, right? They're just doing this whole jogging thing. And, you know, they're jogging like this. Hey, I'm jogging. I said, I don't know what you're doing, but it's not running. And you can walk faster than that. I burn more calories that way. You know, some Christians are doing this. Hey, you know what? I'm going. I'm running the race. Then run. Run means speed. Run means effort. You know, you can do this and you can look like you're running, but guess what? I can do this all night. I can do this all across the stage. I can do this all night. But guess what? I can't run half a mile because I'll die at the end. And it's not because I'm asthmatic, it's because I'm fat. If anybody has an exercise bike they're looking to sell, let me know. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, meaning let everything that is not necessary, lay it aside. Unnecessary desires, unnecessary weight, unnecessary things in our life that are distracting us, sapping our spiritual strength, and of course, sin. That is what so easily besets us. That's how we set up boundaries and standards of life, so that we can keep those sins away from our life so we can be effective in serving God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Verses 7 and 8. And this is Paul near the end of his life. So I think we should all be able to say this. We should desire to say this. But you know, I don't think any of us really have the boldness to say this, because I think, to be honest, we've all realized we've held back a little bit. We haven't given it all. But Paul could honestly say, it is recorded in Scripture, that he had given it all. He had fought. He had done all that he knew how to do, and he trusted God, and he had done what God wanted him to do. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, remember, this is one of the prison epistles. He's in prison. But I don't think anybody can have the boldness to say that. I know Apostle Paul, he had that boldness. Why? Because he knew in his heart he had done all that he could. He had done what God wanted him to do at the end of his life. Run with all your might. Everything you see about Paul, he gave it all. I mean, how many times he was beaten, how many times he was whipped, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was falsely accused. All of those things he did for the cause of Christ. That's running with all your might. You never stop running until you draw your last breath, and you never stop serving God for the rest of eternity. You know what? Starting now, well, I'll serve God with my life. You know, that doesn't mean just here. I mean, going into eternity, you're going to serve God the rest of eternity in heaven. The new heaven and the new earth, you might as well just start now. Amen? Because it's going to be all of eternity you have to serve God. Not have to, but you get to. We sometimes say, well, I have to do this. Well, we get to serve God. We get to love God. We get to worship Him, which is an amazing truth in of itself. You never stop serving God, and you never look back, and you give it all that you have. Well, I don't have very much. That's fine. Give all that you have. Like the widow gave the little that she had, give it all to him. He has a way of multiplying. He takes our small, puny efforts, and our efforts are small and they're puny, okay? So, Adam, I love you, but your efforts are small and puny like everybody else's, okay? Because, guys, we think, hey, you know, we got this. We don't. Only God has it. Only God has it all under control. Only God holds the whole world in his hand. Only God gives us the power and the strength to live daily for him. So if you don't look back and you focus on the next step and then run with all your might, trusting and depending on him for every single step. When we run forward for the Lord, you know, we're running, okay? We're running forward, we're going, and guess what? We're weak. We're going to fall. You know what happens when we begin to run? God says, I want you to run my race, my way. I want you to run in my strength. And when we take a step, we're said, Lord, I'm depending on you for this step. And Lord, I'm depending on you for this step. Lord, I'm depending upon you for this step. Lord, I'm depending upon you for this step. Lord, I'm depending on myself for this step. What's going to happen? You're going to fall. That phrase makes sense now in the New Testament. because step by step, it's God's power that enables us to run. If you say, well, I've got it, face plant. Now, how many of you have, I've mentioned this before, run track and field, and then you tripped one time? Falling is not an enjoyable experience. I never ran track and field, but I know falling, going at full tilt, or landing on your head, or something like that, it's not an enjoyable experience, falling. You know what? Sometimes maybe you're here tonight and you've fallen, or you have an experience with falling. You know what? Something that falling does, it makes it an experience that you don't want to repeat, right? There's either one of two reactions to that. Either one, you're afraid to run again because you know you're just going to fall. Or number two, you know what? I better make sure I don't. And you trust the Lord of heaven to make sure you don't. So tonight, we're not done yet. To be honest, we're never going to be done. Life is always going to be life here and the life to come. We'll always be serving. We'll always be running. But you know, the cool thing about heaven is you can run, not get tired. You know, the things that so easily besets, the sin and all the weights, you know, all of that is going to be gone. You know what? I'm excited when I get to heaven. I can run as fast as I want, as long as I want. I'm not going to be fat anymore. I'm not going to have the physical conditions that disable me from running long distance. I'm not going to have the unhealthy body. I'm not going to have any of that. In the same way, we're not going to have any of those things that are going to get in our way in heaven spiritually. Things that hinder us, the temptations, our feelings, all of those things that hinder us now when we get to heaven, they're all gone. I'm looking forward to that day when we get to heaven and then we can just worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving us salvation and for enabling us to run for Him. So tonight, you're not done yet. But are you willing to take the steps? Not look back, to focus on the next step, and to run with all your might. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray that you would bless our time, and that you would bless this special part of our service, that we honor Adam. I pray that you would also, Lord, help us to make decisions for you. There may be some here tonight, they're not done yet. Maybe they felt like they're done. Maybe they're about to give up. Or maybe they have not been focusing on the next step. Whatever the case may be, Lord, there are many different lives represented here tonight, and I pray that this message would speak to hearts. And dear Lord, we pray that you would be honored and blessed and glorified during this invitation time. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and for your power and for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.